The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Hey, imagine, you know, you go back home to your condo or you go to a shopping center and instead of being greeted by a security guard, you're greeted by a robot.
Oh, that would be very different. Very different.
Well, actually, sometimes when people come to my house and I open the door, I've been told I look quite robotic as well.
It depends on the time of day. Well, yes, anything's possible. Oh, by the way, we have a robotic cleaner, don't we?
Yeah, it's scared a few of our guests on some occasions.
You can find it in the SPH lobby. But one local security company is looking ahead and has brought in an autonomous patrol robot. They did it in 2018.
Yeah, Ademco Security Group is a Singapore-based security services company that sells monitoring services, manpower security services, unified security management and enterprise security software.
Yeah, the company's grown from strength to strength and now has approximately 8,000 corporate and government clients across Asia. And just at the recent Enterprise 50 or E50 Awards 2019, Ademco received the Special Recognition Enterprise Transformation Award for leveraging technology to transform its business in a traditional sector.
So how are things going to change for Ademco after winning such an award? And how important is it to be forward-looking in the security industry? In the studio, we have with us Toby Koh, Group Managing Director, Ademco Security Group. Toby, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome back. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Enterprise Transformation Award. This was at the E50 Awards. So how did you guys celebrate this win? Because I follow you on LinkedIn. You tend to go on cruises every now and then. Was a cruise part of the celebration?
Yeah, there was a dive trip.
Oh, it's a dive trip.
Well, I think that, you know, it was great at winning the award. And really, it's a team award.
Okay.
You know, it's a validation of the team's ability to change, to morph, to improve. And I think that, you know, there's a few aspects of transformation. Talk about internal transformation. It's about really mindset change. I think that's the first step, mindset change. And also wanting to improve, to keep relevant, and making sure that, you know, we use technology to make sure that, you know, we are able to provide the best possible solutions to the clients, to empower our staff, to make sure that we improve processes. And then there's the other aspect of external transformation. External transformation, right? Improve our delivery to our customers, improve the product type of services that we can give to our customers, how we interact, how we communicate with partners, adapt to changing times. I mean, right now you have shortages of guards. What about going green? You know, making a difference, a small difference to climate change, for example. How do we help our clients manage and reduce their risks and increase their efficiencies? And provide new solutions. For example, there are a lot of 24-hour gyms. Right? Okay. 20 years ago, you know, who went to, you know, do a workout at 3 a.m. in the morning? But it happens now. Yeah. You know, there are lots of people who go out there at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And in fact, in recent times, we've actually saved a life because this person had a heart attack 3 a.m. in the morning. No one was in the gym with him, but, you know, he had one of our panic buttons with him. He pressed it. We had a remote video. We could see that he was crouched down on the ground, and immediately we called SCDF to send an ambulance, and we rescued him. He went straight into ICU.
Good story.
So that's what transformation can do, right? I mean, you know, we're in the business of protecting lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, real evidence of how it can make a difference. Let's roll back. You know, back in the day, you installed 24-hour central systems and you saw these installed as the first alarms in Housing and Development Board lifts. That was back in the 1970s. Security has evolved so much over the years. How has it evolved, and is concentrating on technology the way to go in the future?
Well, I think that, you know, security, the security industry and, you know, requirements and times have changed, you know. So, I mean, 30, 40 years ago, we had what we call Jagas, which is like the night watchman. A night watchman was a guy who made money while he slept. Literally, he would put a bed right outside the door and he would sleep there and get paid for it. Right? I mean, you know, that was the night guard. But now, you know, we use a lot of technology, right? And, you know, options and solutions grow as technology develops. 20 years ago, mobile data was very slow. But now with 4G and the coming 5G, we can stream live video from anywhere in the world. 20 years ago, right, the number of cameras deployed, you know, in Singapore per person was very, very low. Now, each one of us, you know, is a mobile CCTV camera, right, with our mobile phones. 20 years ago, we were using pin pads, we were using Magstripe cards, maybe even smart cards, you know. Now we've got facial recognition. We don't need to to use a card to get in anymore. We can have facial recognition. We can use our mobile phones to get in.
Yeah.
How else has it changed? A long time ago, we used to buy our systems. These days, you know, we offer managed services. We would actually provide security as a service.
Right.
Our clients, you know, wouldn't even have to invest in the hardware. We would invest in the hardware and we sign a long-term contract with them and they just pay monthly. No capex. I mean, imagine that, right? That would not have been possible, you know, years ago. Even like, you know, we've got a big client, one of the local banks. We have installed, you know, systems for them over 500-600 sites and they don't own any of the equipment. All the equipment's owned by us. They pay us a service fee every month. So I think that, you know, and security has evolved because look at it these days. Security guards are so hard to come by.
Mm.
There's a severe shortage of security officers. So one of the things that we've done is, you know, we've changed the model and we're doing a lot of remote monitoring for our clients. You don't need to have a guard on site anymore. So at night, we're doing remote monitoring for the factories, the warehouses, the offices. Help with the shortage of the guards. You don't need a guard anymore.
But what's the reaction time then if you're doing remote monitoring? Because you will have traditionalists who feel that they want an immediate reaction in case of a break-in and whatnot. How does ADEMCO deal with that?
So the first level of defense is, hey, when something happens, within 1 minute, within a second minute, you know, I have eyes on site.
Okay.
I can do a verification, I do a risk assessment and see what's the condition on site.
Mm.
One other way would be then if something happens on site, A, we call the police. Police are great in Singapore. We are very lucky that we have good, great law enforcement in Singapore. Alternatively, customers may say, hey, you know, I think the asset owner say, I think I want to reduce my guards. I still need to have a guard. But instead of having 10 guards on site, maybe can reduce it to 6 or 5.
So more focused monitoring instead of what you would call like aimless walking around site. In
well,
that sense.
I think that, you know, I mean, that was that's a very, very big issue, right? Because it's the mindset thing. Mm. A lot of the building owners and asset owners, some of them still are very traditional. So they think that having the visual presence of a security guard is going to deter crime. But really, does it? I mean, if we go to a place like Europe, for example, how many security officers do we see out in the malls, in a factory or in an apartment building? Very, very little because of the cost.
Yeah.
So in Singapore, it's going to trend that way. So what I say is that, you know, let's try to help the situation. We don't have enough guards, so let's deploy guards to do what guards can do. You know, you can't have a robot go out there and do an interview or, you know, to climb stairs. So, you know, use technology, you know, for general surveillance and use the human, you know, use their skills.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that a bit further because, I mean, you mentioned police officers and not seeing many in certain parts of the world, but that has added to a sense in certain communities of feeling less safe. So is it actually about reaching a balance between the two, between employing the tech and then having real people on site?
So, absolutely. But, you know, I'm talking about security officers and not police officers.
Sure.
And having the right technology in place would certainly heighten that level of security. There is no doubt about it. I mean, look at what China is doing. Facial recognition is a bit invasive, right? Sure. You know, or privacy. But, you know, hey, I can't remember the last time, you know, there was a snatch thief, you know, on the streets of Shanghai. I mean, you know, try Googling that.
Actually, it's an interesting point that you brought up, Manisha, about the visual of security guards, because I was on one of those, like a duck tours in Singapore. Don't ask me why I was on it. The tour guide was a foreigner, and he said, in Singapore, you can't run because every corner you turn, there's a camera. Do you think that provides a sense of security?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, just having a visual deterrence, just the thought that, you know, you are going to be
all angles
camera.
Are covered.
We've got lots of cameras in Singapore. You know, there's no escaping that. And I think that, you know, the police and LTA putting more cameras, you know, as we speak.
So ADEMCO, you've got like a 65% market share when it comes to fire monitoring in Singapore. How did you guys become such a major player in something that we take for granted, like fire monitoring?
Well, in fact, we were the ones who convinced the back then, the pre-SCDF, or called the fire services at that time, that, you know, they were doing the monitoring for fire, for fire monitoring. And we convinced them that, you know, hey, why do you want to do the actual fire monitoring? You should be spending your resources in learning how to fight combat fire, on training and stuff. Outsource it, just like all the other developed nations in the world. Outsource it. So, you know, we helped the fire services write up the legislation and was passed in Parliament.
Okay.
So from that point in time on, there were different licenses that were established and, you know, given out by SCDF. And we're just one of six companies that have the license to provide fire alarm monitoring. And I guess that the fact that, you know, we've got almost 4,000 buildings that's connected to us where we're doing monitoring, and that's probably slightly more than a 50% market share. I guess it goes to show that, you know, the team has done a good job in reaching out, and that, you know, the level of service that we have. I think one of the big issues is that, you know, asset owners, you know, property is very expensive in Singapore.
Sure.
And if you're an asset owner, whether it's a building, a warehouse, or a factory, you want to make sure that, you know, you have a competent provider to do fire alarm monitoring. So, you know, our clients grill us. Huh? They come in and they grill our process. They look at, you know, what we do, the technology that we use. They make sure that, you know, we've got we're probably the only company right now in Singapore that has an ISO business continuity certification, which is the ISO 22301. And that's absolutely vital, because what happens if, you know, my primary site has got a problem? I have a hot site. I can go to another site and have a fully running central monitoring and command center. So we've got two sites. So a lot of our clients, you know, A-grade customers say, hey, that's the type of service provider that we want.
Toby, one of the things that comes up so much, we talk about it a lot on the show, is cyber threats. With everything being digitized, with all these systems being the way that they are, is that a concern for you? And what do you do about fears around cybersecurity of your own systems?
Cybersecurity is absolutely a real threat. And, you know, we should be and we must be concerned about it. It's part of, you know, the risk mitigation. I think having, you know, a good practice, making sure that, you know, we've got the right systems in place, we've got the right professionals in place to make sure that, you know, we safeguard against it is extremely important. But having said that, hey, there is no 100%. At some point in time, you're going to have smart people who are going to be able to break in, you know, through your defenses. So do what you can. Make sure that you get a provider that, you know, puts a lot of emphasis and priority on their cyber threats.
So you monitor alarms for some 3,000 buildings here in Singapore?
4,000 buildings.
Okay, 4,000 buildings. So even more. And I would imagine that you have a command center and everything for that. But then how do those systems work? Because obviously you want them to be robust, to stand up to all the threats that can be out there.
So I think that, you know, firstly, you know, it's about, you know, assessing the risks and what the clients perceive as their risks. So every client has a different assessment of, you know, their own risks, right? Some people feel, oh, you know, I just need, you know, some general surveillance. There are other people who say, no, right down to the entry, I want to know who comes in. I want to know what time they come in. I want to make sure that, you know, I verify that this is the person coming in. Well, if you need to have security that's going to be able to verify exactly what that person is, who's the person coming in, then you're going to need an identifier, like a biometric, whether it's a fingerprint or face recognition. So these are sites where, you know, they might be storing a lot of IP.
Sure.
They may be very critical sites. It may be a healthcare facility. It may be a research facility. So it really depends on, you know, what sort of security the client wants. So the risk assessment part is extremely important. And then it is about tailoring the best cost-effective solution to meet those threats. So having a system that is going to be robust, making sure that, you know, you have redundancies, you know, to the systems, is extremely, extremely important. And it's all in the design.
Toby, off-the-cuff question here. A lot of time we think security, people think it's infrastructure security, obviously shopping centers, housing and whatnot. Data security, and when I say data security, I mean data being stored on servers. Is there an upward trend for companies coming to ask for more security provided for these servers that are storing such sensitive information, sensitive data?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, there is a very, very big push onto the cloud.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cloud systems, I mean, if you look at, you know, cloud solutions provided by people like Amazon, people by Microsoft, or even like, you know, the cloud system that we use, which is Salesforce.com, the level of investment that they put in to encrypt and make sure that, you know, they protect that data vault for their clients, that's incredible. But not to say again, you know, there is no 100%, right? Someone could probably still, you know, be able to hack in there and, you know, get some data. But so far, so good, you know. So we want to make sure that, you know, we store our data in the best vault that we can find.
Okay, we need to talk about robots. So anyone who's opening Straits Times today and jumps to page A4, at the bottom of the page, you'll see a picture of some robots that were equipped with intelligent surveillance cameras, and you would have found them outside Ang Mo Kio Station. Is this the future? I mean, you said robots can't walk upstairs, but I mean, there have been, you know, work at various American universities of like sort of robot dogs that can walk, and even police forces that have adopted them.
So I think that, you know, robots is definitely the future. The question is when. When there is new technology, one of the biggest issues that we face would be A, the competency of the technology, the suitability of technology, and also costs. And at this point in time, robots are extremely expensive. And, you know, there are practical issues, like I mentioned just now. I mean, you know,
Ademco has one, right?
We do have one. But our robot is meant for a specific purpose, which is an unmanned site. Right. So if you have an unmanned site like a power plant or a water treatment plant that has nobody at night, the robot would be perfect because, you know, it's autonomous. It goes on its patrols. It would go back to its charging station and go back out on its patrols again. It would have, you know, intelligent vision. It's got video analytics on it. It's able to detect, you know, small cuts in the fence, line. So, you know, these are things which, you know, it's a very, very prime situation where a robot deployment would be fantastic. It would be able to then, you know, use video analytics to detect, you know, if someone has climbed over the fence, are there people around? So, you know, it's a perfect situation. But in the practical point of view is that in public places, robots can't climb stairs.
Yeah.
How do you get a robot to open up a door? I haven't seen a robot that can open up, to turn a doorknob successfully so far. So there are still real issues. How's a robot going to go upstairs, go into the elevator and hit 5? That's still a problem. That's still a challenge.
Here's an interesting one. Ademco has recently invested in 2 blockchain startups. Toby, could you tell us a little bit about these startups and what was behind the decision for Ademco to invest in them?
So I believe, you know, it is my belief that blockchain will be the future cornerstone of security applications. And we wanted to invest in the technology. But one of the biggest problems that I realize is that, you know, Ademco doesn't have the right ecosystem to house a blockchain R&D team.
Okay.
So what's the next best thing? Go invest in a blockchain startup.
Someone who knows what they're doing in that
sense. And, you know, they would have, you know, we have a team of talent, very talented people who know their blockchain technology. And they are, and when we need to deploy them for security purposes, you know, they'll be there.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the startups is called TRAMES, which actually stands for Transmission of Messages Across the Supply Chain. And what we do is we're using blockchain to solve visibility problems in large MNC supply chains. You know, it's incredible. You know, MNCs have lots of gaps in their supply chains and, you know, blockchain is being used to solve it right now.
Okay, just to wrap up and briefly, if you don't mind, I wanted to talk about what's next for Ademco. And also, I read in an article that sometimes when you go to restaurants, you sit in a position where you can see the whole restaurant just in case something breaks out. Is that true?
It's a typical security man.
Oh my goodness. You must have done a lot of research. So it's strange. I think that stemmed from, you know, just being in the trade, you know, and I like to sit with my back against the wall so I can see what's happening, you know, and probably because of all the fiction books, you know, on assassins and stuff that I like to read.
So
what's next for Singapore? What's next for Ademco? Well, first of all, we've just chosen as one of the members in the scale-up program by Enterprise Singapore. Very grateful for that. I think that the government is really helping local businesses to scale. And in fact, you know, so McKinsey, you know, which is a global consultant, you know, is our consultant. Hopefully, you know, with the advice and with the help of Enterprise Singapore. We're going to be able to grow our footprint geographically. We're going to be able to scale going into a lot of smart city projects in places like India and in Vietnam. And really, you know, I hope to continue to bring Ademco, you know, which is now a Singapore brand, out into the region and go international. 7 countries right now. Hopefully we can, you know, do another 7 countries in the next couple of years.
Toby Koh, Group Managing Director, Ademco Security Group. Toby, thanks for coming by. Congratulations on your award and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.